Proverbs chapter 4, and going to deal with something that is probably one of the most important instructions in the Bible. It's certainly a theme that runs all the way through the Bible, and it deals with your heart and protecting your heart, keeping your heart. Proverbs chapter 4, several verses on either side of this one. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. The Bible says, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart." There you go. "For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." That's the verse. Let's keep reading. "Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." So, let's pray, and then I'm going to talk about keeping your heart, and diligently keeping your heart. That's a needed instruction. But let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight. I thank you for these words. I thank you for each soul that's here. I do lift up Mary Beth, that you'd heal up her body, help her feel better. And for others that may be sick, that you'd help them. And then I just thank you so much for opportunity to be here tonight and for opportunity to sing and open up your words and have prayer together as a congregation. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so verse 23 is the principle of the thing. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And then subsequently, he goes on and deals with the mouth, the eyes, and the feet. Because all of those things are going to determine things about your heart. And it's a fairly simple illustration. You know, God made your physical heart to issue life-giving blood to your body. And in the same way, he says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, out of it are the issues of life." In the same manner that your heart physically and biologically feeds the body, it's the same thing with the affections and the things that you hold dear will determine the health of the life and the health of the soul and all those sorts of things. So God said the life of the flesh is in the blood, and in the same way, like I said, that your physical life is sustained by a healthy heart and circulatory system, God made the spiritual life of a soul much the same way. And I think about it, probably everyone here, if you don't have heart problems, you know someone who has heart problems. And there are so many medical precautions that people take to protect their physical heart. There's pills, you know, we're all familiar with pills. You take pills. There's medicines. There's maybe the arteries and veins are filled with junk and need to be cleaned out. So I think that procedure is like an ablation or something like that, or they open up or put a stent in, replace the old pipes with new pipes. Your physical heart struggles because of pressure. Added stress, all that stuff, make your blood pressure high, and the heart's just working harder. Maybe the heartbeat is irregular. Just a myriad of things, but we do all kinds of things to protect our physical heart because we understand the value of it. I mean, there's it's valuable, and so because it's valuable, we want to protect it. It issues life to the rest of the body, and if the heart's unhealthy, then the body's just not going to be healthy. And so there's bloodborne pathogens that, you know, they may not affect the pump, the actual heart, but they use the heart to spread themselves throughout the body. I mean, there's just so many things that, medically speaking, biologically speaking, just stress the importance of having a healthy physical heart. And you know it just because you just want to stay alive. I mean, you take precautions, you know, whether it's medicines, whether it's diets, whatever the case is, but you want to maintain a healthy heart. And all of these medical remedies, all of these biological remedies are done to support ultimately, and it's not that it's bad to do it, but it's just ultimately done to support a dying body. But how much more important is the heart, spiritually speaking, the seat of affections and matters that deal with the soul? Because this is what the proverb is about. He says, keep thy heart with all diligence. You understand how to keep your physical heart. You understand that there's precautions to take to make sure it stays healthy or to address any failures in it. You take those precautions, you add the crutches to the heart that need to be added. You just want to keep it going. But then with all of that care taken, this verse says that level of care, that level of diligence, that level of attention, that ought to be applied as well to your affections. And that ought to be applied as well to your ambitions and your spiritual heart. I mean, that's what it is. It's your affections. It's what you love. It's what you have zeal for. It's what you want out of life. And so, the illustration is pretty simple. And you put guards on your physical heart. This verse just says, you need to really make that application spiritually as well. You need to take that level of diligence and apply it to your spiritual. I'm going to say spiritual heart, but that's the idea. Your affections, the things you love. And then he goes on, and after he says, keep thy heart with all diligence, then he describes the diligence that needs to be taken. He says there's basically three areas that are really going to mess your heart up. Three things that if you don't take careful and pay careful attention and keep this thing guarded and focused in the right direction, these three gates and these three areas of your life will, the enemy, the world will come in and it will ruin your heart. And so here's what he starts off with. Verse 23 is the verse, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Verse 24, here's one of the places where you got to keep diligence and a very careful watch over this. Verse 24, put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. That reminds me. All right, so apparently your mouth is connected to your heart. And apparently, Jesus said at one point in time, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So the mouth is just the gateway. It's just sort of the publishing of what's already there. And so Jesus also said one time, he talked about it. I'll just read it to you. It's in Matthew. Well, before I read it, how does the mouth affect the heart? How does the mouth affect the life of a person? Well, if you're around people, and it's easy to do now, if you're around folks, I remember, I'll just use another oil-filled example. I mean, I just remember I'd go to the office in Houston, I'd be on a rig, whatever the case was, and probably everybody, I guess everybody, there may have been one guy that I had dealings with that didn't have a filthy mouth. And I mean, it's F-bomb this and blankety-blank that and blankety-blank that. And if that's your conversation, I remember one guy, man, I was on a rig, and I was talking to him, and literally every other word was some cuss word. I said, hey, man, hang on a second. I don't even know what you're saying. I don't know what you're talking about. Because every other word is a cuss word, and I don't know what the content of this conversation is. I don't know what you're saying. And I mean, what that demonstrates is, and what that, you know, you step back, you think about, I mean, it's like, this filthy mouth probably didn't come from a very clean place. And that's the general, I mean, unfortunately, in our culture, that's okay. It just doesn't matter. Everybody has a filthy mouth, and it's just okay. Although it's not okay with God, it's just okay with people. But you don't ever think, man, this guy's dropping the F-bomb. He'd just be in church every week, man. This guy must be praising Jesus. You don't think that because you know what's coming out of the mouth defiles the person. It defines them. It tells you what's going on in the heart. Jesus Christ said it this way. Jesus said, Matthew 15, I'll just read it to you. Are ye also yet without understanding? Do ye not yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the drought? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. So what he's talking about, that's the thing that's going to defile him. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. So somebody's whispering about evil things. They're talking about people behind their back. And what you realize, this was person's a gossip. This person's, that's all, that's, they're just thinking evil thoughts about them. Evil thoughts, what else? Murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defile not a man. So Jesus Christ says the same thing the proverb says. You want to keep your heart with diligence? Here's number one. Put away from thee a froward mouth. Get your mouth under control. And perverse lips put far from thee. Why? Because that's the defiling thing. That's the thing that makes the life either dirty or clean. I mean, if on the other hand, you got somebody who's praising the Lord all the time at work and they're uplifting Jesus Christ and they're talking about how good God's been, you don't think, and the world doesn't even think, well, this guy's been living in filth. Nobody thinks that. They think probably, you know, get away from me, you're a little bit kind of a nut or something. But they don't think this guy's life is filthy. That's not the thoughts that come to mind. They may be a little bit uncomfortable, but they don't think that guy's life is filthy. But if all you're involved in is gossip and, you know, women walking by and then you're talking like that, I mean, that's the definition of your life. I mean, that what's coming out of your mouth tells the story. So Solomon said, keep your heart with all diligence. How do you do that? Well, put a guard on your mouth. So that you're not defiling your life. So that you're not ruining your heart. Put a guard on your mouth. Here's another one in Matthew. I'll just read this one too. Jesus said this. He said, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? That's what he's talking about. Speaking good things. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man, out of the good treasure of the heart, bringeth forth good things. Somebody who's talking about Jesus Christ, out of the abundance of the heart, out of the good treasure of his heart, he's bringing forth what's valuable to him, and he's speaking, and it's not defiling anybody, it's not defiling him, it's magnifying Jesus Christ, and it's good fruit. On the other hand, an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. That's pretty strict rule there. That's a pretty I don't know, not groundbreaking, but it's a well-defining thought, that if filth is coming out, then it means what's in there is filth. And if you're not guarding that, if you're not protecting that, because, you know, we're flesh and all that kind of stuff, we got these bodies, I get it, but if there's nothing good in there, what's coming out is just, it's just filth. And so, keep thy heart with all diligence. Number one, what defiles the heart? What defiles the man, what defiles the life, is the filth that comes out of his mouth. On the other hand, what defines the man, what defines the life, is the good stuff that comes out of his mouth. Somebody always talking about the Lord, somebody praising Jesus Christ, that defines the man too. So, diligence, how do you keep your heart with all diligence? Well, you put a guard on, you consider what's coming out of your mouth. Consider how you're, if it's filth, you're just defiling yourself. Here's another one. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 25. So he deals with the mouth. And really, any of these, you could just talk for a long time on this stuff. The mouth is just like, there's so much to it. But we're just going to deal with all of them here. The next one is verse 25. What's the next place that defiles the heart? The eyes. The eyes. Let thine eyes look right on. Let thy eyelids look straight before thee. And everyone knows how this works. This is why they have commercials with puppy dogs in the rain and, you know, shivering in the rain, in order to get a check from you. Because I understand how that works. What goes in the eyes affects the heart. And if you can see something, and I can show you something that pulls at your heart, and I can manipulate the emotion to get what I want out of you. And I mean, it's a simple principle, and I mean, advertise, you just know how it works. What comes in through the eyes affects your heart. You see something, and immediately you have a feeling associated with what you've seen. I remember, and we're so far from these days now, but there's a story of this pastor, and he had been sort of confiding in another pastor, or maybe it wasn't a pastor, it was just a guy. I don't remember the position or whatever. But anyway, there was this fella, and he was talking about talking to his pastor, maybe somebody, anyway, and he had just got a computer, and he had just plugged it into the internet, and he's dinking around on there on the internet, and this thought goes in his mind like, hey, what if I look at this? Not even look at, just what if? And when the thought went through his mind, he said he turned off the computer and got rid of the computer. He's like, I cannot afford to have my heart move in that direction. I can't afford that. It's just, it's too much. I mean, we're so far from that at this point. You guys, everything on our phones, I mean, it's just, whether it's ads or TikToks or Instagram reel. I mean, it's just there's so much stuff going on and so much stuff constantly being put in front of our eyes. But this verse is nevertheless true. You need to guard what goes in your eyes because it affects your heart. It moves your heart in a certain direction. In fact, there is a... Oh, now I just thought of this verse and I hope I can find it. It is... Okay, I think this is it. So, in Ezekiel, it looks like the devil is being described. Okay? And the devil's problem didn't start with rebellion and hatred for God and any of that stuff. You know how the devil's business started? Over there in Ezekiel 28, it says, "Thine heart was lifted up." That was it. The heart was lifted up. Why was it lifted up? Well, he took a look at himself and he thought he was something. That's the next part of it. "Because of thy beauty." He took a look and he thought, you know, this is something. I'm something. And that thought, the sight and the emotion, and now the heart moves in a certain direction. And when the heart moved in a certain direction, then it says, "Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness." It was immediate. It was at that moment now. Now corruption has entered in. Maybe not the full scope of what this corruption is going to look like, but just the movement of a heart in one direction. Why? Because of what he saw. He looked at something and he saw it and he thought, "That's, man, I'm something. I'm really something." And the Bible says his heart was lifted up. It says, "Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee." What was the iniquity? Well, the heart was just moved. It moved in a direction it shouldn't have moved. Why did it move in that direction? Because the eyes pulled it in that direction. He looked and he considered and the whatever his optical nerve and all that kind of stuff, whatever all that works, it created an emotion in him, and the heart was proud, and then the heart thought, "You know what? I should be like God. I mean, what am I relegated to here? Look at me." And I mean, I'm sure all those thoughts follow, and that's the point. That's the story. That's what happens afterwards. But when the heart just moves in a certain direction. I mean, you can think about it in your own life. Maybe how you've been derailed, and if you go all the way back to the beginning, where the heart actually moved. It just moved from a certain spot into a direction. And it started on that course. And when it started on that course, man, there were all kinds of cause and effect after that. It was all kinds of stuff going on. Now you're bringing things into your life that you never thought you'd bring into your life. The eyes, they affect the heart. Jeremiah said it after looking at Jerusalem and it was smoldering ashes. He said, "Mine eye affecteth my heart." That's true. And then Jesus Christ said it this way. He said, you got to be careful with the eyes. He says, "Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." You know what the devil did? He judged according to appearance. And his heart moved in a certain direction, and man, the catastrophes after that are just innumerable. Jesus Christ says, I gave you eyes for a purpose, but the eyes aren't discerning enough. They can be deceptive. You can be made to see things that aren't there. So the eyes, how do you keep your heart with all diligence? Will you be careful what you put in front of your eyes? Pay attention to what you're putting in front of your eyes. And then this, I mean, we could keep talking about that one, but I think you got it. You get the idea. It's the mouth, the eyes, verse 26, back in Proverbs, the feet. It says, ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. You know, this goes, this idea of where you are and where you're, who you're walking around with and what direction you're moving, all of these things are going to affect your heart. And it goes back to Proverbs 1, where Solomon warned his son not to walk in the way of sinners. Because you walk in the way of sinners and eventually you become the people you are around. And that works on the good side and that works on the bad side. So you want to be around people who are godly. You want to be around people who are serving the Lord, because that's what you'll be like if you hang around people like that. On the contrary, if you don't hang around people like that, you hang around people who are selfish ambitions. I mean, just living life the way they want to live. It doesn't even have to be criminal activity. If they're just neglecting the things of God, you'll find yourself neglecting the things of God just like they do. Just like they do. It's guard your feet where they go. Where you spend time affects your heart. The danger is you spend time away from the Lord and the things of the Lord and the places and times the Lord ordained for His work. And in the process of time, you lose desire for the things of the Lord. I tell you what, it's you miss a couple of, and I'll just say it this way. You lay around on Sunday, and it becomes easier to just lay around on Sunday. It just becomes easier. It just becomes easier to neglect. Where you go affects your heart. And there's justifications. It's like, well, I missed last Sunday. I missed Wednesday. I mean, what was the big deal? I mean, I don't know. No big deal. And then the flesh justifies it. What am I saying? That all affects the heart. It all affects the heart. I don't know whether it's sports or laziness or vacations or hunting or fishing or whatever pulls you away eventually leads to loss of desire and even hostility toward God. I mean, you get away from the things of God for long enough and you'll get mad at God. You'll get tired of hearing about God. You'll get tired of people talking about God. You'll get tired of people inviting you to church. You stay away from it long enough, and what you find is your heart has moved from maybe loving God at one point to hating the things of God. I don't know if you could say loving God at one. Maybe it's just you were there at one point. But the idea is your heart has moved from this place to this place now. It's Job said this, and I'll try to make the connection here. He said, for he is cast into a net by his own feet, and he walketh upon a snare. People do that. Most animals that walk on a snare don't know they're on a snare. So you have this verse in Timothy where it says the devil takes people captive. He snares their lives by his own will. He sets the trap. The person just keeps doing what they're doing, and then he pulls the trap. The animal doesn't want to be trapped. It doesn't want to be trapped, but it doesn't matter. You walked away from the things of God, inevitably you walked into a trap, and the guy that held the trap pulled the trap. I mean, and you've seen trapped animals, man. They kick and fight and all that. They don't want to be there. It's not their will to be trapped. And when a person is snared by the devil, I'm sure it's not his will to be snared. He just was doing his own thing, maybe neglecting the things of God, and pretty soon, devil pulls the snare, and now kicking and fighting and wondering why his life is like this. It's like, well, this is the way this works. It's the way it works. Think about where you're going. It's, you know, this is the opposite. These verses, ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. You know what that's the opposite of a leap of faith. It's not like I'm just going to go out there and just, you know, we're just going to make God obligated to bless me because I'm just going to jump out there with whatever, you know, zeal I got. No, ponder the path of your, think about what you're doing. Think about where you're going. David said, I waited patiently for the Lord and he inclined unto me. What was that? I waited. And he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. I mean, the idea of and, you know, spiritualizing it, a leap of faith and things like that. Now we're going from the carnal side to the spiritual side of this sort of ignoring God. This leap of faith, it can be exciting. That's true. But when the excitement wears off and the person that took the leap of faith finds out they overstepped, you know, the week of the week of camp is over now. Now real life. And now it's back to you got to live your life now. It can be exciting, leap of faith. But you may find out when all the excitement wears off and you've overstepped, hopefully you're not stuck in a snare. Now, those are the three areas that are addressed in Proverbs. The heart, as far as the heart, you've got the mouth, the eyes, and the feet. And when I say spiritual heart, What he's talking about is where your affections are, where your ambitions are, because what you look at affects your affections. Where you go, who you're around, affects your affections. The things that come out of your mouth, they define your life. And it's not that. The heart is the issue. And that seems to be a theme all through the Bible, that the Lord is trying to get people's hearts corrected. What does he say even in Deuteronomy? He says, circumcise your hearts. Get the heart fixed. That's not a New Testament. That's old. That's just life. That's just the way it's always been. He's trying to deal with the heart. And I thought this was interesting. Not that every problem with the heart or medical problem with an individual's heart has to do with sin, but it sure is interesting. It sure is interesting that the leading cause of death in every single nation in the world, among men and women, is heart problems. It's almost like biologically and medically, the same problems exist spiritually. People have heart problems spiritually. They can't control, they don't control their affections. They don't control their ambitions. They don't control their desires. And they have life problems. That's the issues of life. There's lots of medicines, remedies to guard your physical heart. Lots of precautions people take to ensure their heart stays as healthy as it can. Because everyone seems to know that the heart sends life to the body. And if the heart doesn't work, the body doesn't work. But how many of us who know that apply that to spiritual life, apply that to our affections, where, hey, I need to rein in my affections here. I need to rein in my desires. I need to rein in my wants. I need to rein in my ambitions. Why? They're just leading me in directions that are snares everywhere. And I can't live that way. I can't do that. Keep thy heart, he says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep thy heart. That is to control your desires, your affections, your ambitions. Put guards in these places. Monitor. Diligently inspect. And it's not just negative. It's not just put guards. It's put good stuff in too. You need to put good stuff in your eyes. You put good stuff in your heart. You need to put good stuff in your mind. Why? Because that affects the heart. It's not just stay away from all this stuff. It's put good things in too. That instruction there, I mean, it's one of the themes of the Bible. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That is a superb instruction. And then he tells you a couple ways to do it. The eyes, the feet, the mouth. Guard those things. Protect them. Father, I pray it's been helpful. I pray that we could take from this what we need to take from it. I thank you for each soul that's here. Thank you for this time together. And I pray that you would help us make the applications that need to be made. Maybe apps need to be turned off. Maybe, I don't know, put the phones down. I don't know. TV's off, something. Read the Bible more. Listen to more sermons. I don't know, maybe those are the applications. But I pray that you'd help us apply these things. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, prayer requests.